Thank you, Clyde. Thank you, thank you. Good morning. Yeah, let's just do this. I got something to say again today. Isn't that great? Can you imagine me getting up here without nothing to say? Yeah, not likely that'll ever happen. So I'm happy that you're here today because I kept giggling while Clyde was talking because I kept wanting to say, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? You know, it's all of this is very exciting for me, and we're having a good response, and I can't wait to see. Excuse me. I can't wait to see what happens this week because things are really coming together in terms of our stewardship campaign. And before I do anything else, could I acknowledge you, Reverend Noli? Would you just humor me for a minute and let me shake yes? Okay. Noli, would you stand, please? I want you to see someone who's very dear to my heart. This is Reverend Noli Hartwell. Turn around, let them see your beautiful face. Thank you, darling. So many of you already know Reverend Noli because she's been attending services here for a year. I'm thinking a little more than a year. A couple years she's been hanging around. And she's one of those behind-the-scenes people that does a lot of work for me that nobody ever knows. She's really done a great job on helping me clean up the education side in terms of record keeping and all of that. But when Reverend Noli first got here, she gave me a cassette. Now, the thing you have to know about Reverend Noli is she not only had her own pulpit in, I never can remember, was it the Canada side or the Washington? Vancouver, B.C. She not only had her own pulpit, but she was the founding minister of that center. And so that's a lot of work. And she built a beautiful congregation and had that pulpit for a number of years. Well, when she first got here and we started getting acquainted, she said, here, I want you to, and she was kind of humble, and she gave me a little cassette because they didn't do CD recordings probably yet when you were still in the pulpit. And I took that cassette, and then I, you know, who has a cassette player, you know? So I had it for a long time, and recently when I moved and was unpacking all of my stuff, I found a cassette player right at the same time I found that recording of her message. It was one of her Sunday messages on prosperity. And Reverend Noli, I want you to know I have listened to it like four times. And so I'm telling you this because most of what everything I'm speaking about today is inspired from that gorgeous, gorgeous, oh my goodness, gorgeous message and your voice and your presence. And you know, I would really love to see you in action one day. So only thing is, the only time you'll get asked to speak is when I'm not here. So that probably won't happen. But you can gift me with more of those cassettes now that I know I have a player. So we are all looking at the studying together, and it's wonderful to put that group consciousness together. And we've been peeking at this book, The Essential Wisdom of Dr. Raymond Charles Barker. I'm speaking from the back of it. You guys have all been studying the front of it, and together we're getting this great spiritual, principled lesson. And in the part that I studied for the talk today, the title of the chapter is actually, What Are We Waiting For? And so it's a wonderful question, because the truth is, we are living in this universe. Everything has fit together today that we have talked about so far. Every song you have had lyrics with this morning has spoken this message that I'm sharing this morning. But it's like we are permeated with divinity. And there this infinite intelligence is everywhere present. It's what allows our bodies to function. It's in every element of our lives. And the question is, what are we waiting for? What will it take for us to notice that? And so I found this quote by Raymond Charles Barker, and he said, the whole universe is waiting for you to decide on a creative good and to act upon that decision. And so that's what we want to jump into this morning. We want to look at that idea. What does that mean to think that the whole universe is waiting for us to decide for our creative good? Wow, what a powerful statement that is. Think about it. Really, it's a gorgeous quotation and a really good question. What are we waiting for? So I like the idea that we have so many amazing, since the beginning of humankind being able to communicate with each other, there have been conversations around this idea about the greater intelligence in the universe that's been thought about and interpreted in all kinds of different ways. And I love the mystical approach. I think I've decided that's what you do. That's why your music turns me on so much. I hear the voice of the mystic in what you say. When it, Celia, when you can talk about in a context of a musical piece about the way we want to keep our feet on the ground while we're, how did you say that, while we're grow roots and fly, that's like my philosophy. I just use a lot more words. Take roots and fly. So a lot of us get involved in this stuff and we just want to fly, but you got to have roots too. That's why spiritual principle is such a great blessing. But the idea that the mystics have been talking about that which is sort of unknowable in such an open-minded way where they don't have to put it in a box more like a religious or a theology might do. So we look at this idea of that greater power and that presence and that infinite intelligence of all the universe. We know that has to be in us. Almost every religion says that there is this ever-present, absolutely everywhere, this all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent, what's that third one? If I don't do them in order, I forget. Omnipotent. So we have this glorious way that we then try and speak to it or about it, right? And in addition to the mystics, now if you look at the current days, we have all, boy, it's strange to see you sitting in the crowd back there, Miss Cheryl. Nice place for you. Good job of trying to hide. So there's this great way that even the current spiritual thinkers, I love that we're looking at thought leaders, we call them sometimes, and all the books that have been written for the last 20, 30, 40 years, do you look at the New York Times bestseller list? If you look at nonfiction, there is always a list of spiritual authors. Mark Reed, you're headed there. We're doing our best to support you. We love your new book. And so we've got, you know, these commonalities. We talk about Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra, and we look at the way we're taking these complicated ideas of science and spirit and this marriage of the two, where we're looking at what might be called quantum physics in some circles, and we're looking at the practical application, the way we can use that stuff in our own lives. Marianne Williamson, A Course in Miracles. You have all these great contributors that for a lot of years have been, many of those names brought us to seek a place to find spiritual inspiration on a Sunday morning. And then you have all the new ones. It's funny because I was thinking of Eckhart Tolle, and then Kay quoted Eckhart Tolle this morning. You know, so we got Eckhart, and we got Brené Brown, and we got, oh my gosh, we're talking about conscious parenting, and there's just no end to this great way that we, as representatives of humanity, are hungry to tap into that power, to understand it, to look at that presence, and to have a relationship with something that is greater than we are, that will help us make sense of the things we hear going on in the world. And so my favorite Christian mystic is Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was the teacher of all the great New Thought leaders. Now, she had a part of unity and religious science and divine science, and she worked with Mary Baker Eddy and connected to Christian science. So this woman who was a fabulous mystic, ooh, tricky to read, but ooh, I love, ooh, a little bit of that and a little bit of your music, ooh, what a great day that would be. Emma Curtis Hopkins had this great way that she sensed the spirit within, and she said bizarre things like, notice that, God swelling you with possibility. God swelling you with possibility, waiting for your firm command. For each of us has within us an instinct with executiveness. So we have this philosophy, this spiritual teaching that we adore, and we emphasize the practical application using it in our own lives. And so we sort of talk about this idea of, instead of supply and demand, I like to say demand and supply. There's a way that we are always interacting with the universe, that everything we're thinking is a part of how we show up, and what we focus on seems to be what we grow more of in our experience of living. And yet, it's like there's this great universal law that's just waiting for our demand, and then supplies us with that whatever it is we are willing to open ourselves to be vessels to receive. So, you know, I like to say, how big is your container? How big is your bucket? How much good can we welcome into our lives? And not only into our lives, but what about this community? You know, this is stewardship month, where we're looking at what it means to be a good steward. But you know, it's being a good steward is about being good to yourself, and being a good steward in your life is about taking care of your property, and being a good steward in community is about being a good presence, a helpful presence. And how do we serve, and how do we it's always about giving and receiving, because truly, in order to prosper in life in any way, we practice the law of circulation. So there is this great, if you look at the universe, if we just observe the universe and see how everything functions in relationship to everything else, we can see that there's this absolute law of circulation going on in the universe in much the same way we have a circulatory system in our own body. See, everything has to circulate. We understand that if we talk about the human body. In fact, if you look in the writings of Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of this philosophy, the science of mind, if you look in his chapters on physical perfection, he always talks about the law of circulation. He always talks about things moving, and that which you don't need is eliminated, and everything has to be circulated. So we take in air, and then we have to exhale, right? Your blood has to move through your body in order to beat your heart, and your food has to come in your body, and then the waste product has to be eliminated. And so there's this great example of how incredibly made we are, because there is a great maker of all of life, a great creator, and we are created in the image and likeness of. So there has to be a circulatory system that we can observe that replicates that which is going on in the normal functioning of our body. And I would take that a step further and say, therefore, we can see that same law of circulation applies right here in our gorgeous community. As we sit one next to the other in all the beautiful many ways that we sit together, even though we don't necessarily think exactly the same, even though we cherish this idea of honoring every path to that idea of spiritual deepening or communion with that one, whatever you call that one. So this idea of to prosper is about how do we flourish? You know, it's about growing strong and healthy. It is to cause to succeed, or, and I love this definition, to render happy. I want to render some happiness in my life, right? Don't you want to have that? We all do. We all come with those same desires, those same divine ideas. And when we open ourselves to all of that, we can thrive. And so to thrive then is that way in which we grow vigorously. That was actually your term, Reverend Noli, to grow vigorously. I love that idea. So that means to grow well. And that's what we do when we come together in community. That's the whole purpose of us coming together, is so that we can be inspired and we can reignite that passion or that space for just a moment in a day where we recognize that holy, holy communion with that one. So, it's really easy to think to prosper is just got a dollar sign behind it. But, you know, I keep looking at this stuff and I realize that we have to experience all of life, prospering in our health, in our relationships, in every way, including financial, allows us to recognize that great circulatory system that is the universe, that is this great big beautiful example of how life is always moving, that there is this pulsing heartbeat of all the universe, that there is this activity of life that is always about expansion, that reminds us that there is a vibrancy in life, that it is our destiny to wake up and desire to have that experience of well-being, to feel good and healthy, to have all the supply we need in our lives for everything. Because as we look at the universe, we can see, we can witness and observe that things are fluidic, and that everything we need to be alive is provided for us through this incredible intelligence. And therefore, there is a way, even when we forget, that life is hovering, that life is just waiting for us to wake up and partake of this great bounty that is just freely given to us. Now, I notice, you know, I'm an old Bible fundamentalist, so I notice that there's a lot of talk in these sacred written works throughout the world of passages that tell us we should not worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear in terms of clothing, that we should not worry about those things because it is the Father's good pleasure to give us all the gifts of the kingdom. And so what I know is when I think of that as Father, as a creator, it is the creator's good pleasure to give. That's the point we don't want to miss. It is the creator's good pleasure not only to give, but that which created all is constantly giving all. And so there's another scriptural passage that says, so take no thought about these things. Take no thought about what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to eat or how I'm going to pay the electric bill at the end of the month. Take no thought about these things. Why? Because circulation has to happen. The universe cannot survive without that law of circulation in action. So when we worry about things, when we get that sense of, I call it not enoughness. For me, it's like, you know, I relate to it better than just saying limitation. It's if there's ever an occasion in my life where I'm sort of either hoarding or not feeling as generous in the way I'm handling portions of anything in my life, whether that's love or time or money, it doesn't matter, or pie. When you get to that place where it looks like there's just a little, well, take no thought about that and change the way you're thinking about it. How else can we see it? How else can we step into it? How else can we walk through it? Because as I look at it only as limited, that's all I'm going to see. And then I'm not going to enjoy eating that last little sliver of pie if I'm thinking that that's it, that's the last of it. On the other hand, we could put on our little yummy thing and enjoy every little bite of it and know that it's a great gift that we have this pleasurability, you know, the ability to feel and experience pleasure. So the bottom line is, as we examine the universe, we can see there is a natural order to all things and that everything that is needed is provided, like the lilies of the field. Like the lilies of the field, you know? We used to, for 15 minutes, we lived in Arkansas. It was interesting. Took our kids there, wanted to live in the country and have a garden, and it was really fun. And after 4 years, I was really glad to get back to L.A. because I'm a bit of a, as it turns out, I'm a bit of a city girl. But one of the cool things, there were lots of cool experiences from that kind of living, but there was a railroad track that went behind our house and through town, and these lilies just grew wild like crazy on both sides of the train tracks. And you know how bulbs are, they're prolific, they multiply, and there's always more and more. So it was really okay to take your shovel out there and grab lilies and plant them in your yard. So it was a beautiful experience. And then you watch them multiply in your yard. So take no thought to these things like the lilies of the field. That just gives me a whole vision of this great gift of abundance, the way in which we are constantly gifted by the grace of God. So we teach this idea of demand and supply. Notice what you're thinking. Put your demand on the law. Choose what you focus on and what you think on. And know, be really clear what or who your supply is, because we have also been confused in thinking that money is our supply or your job is your supply. So if any of those things get shifted around a little, it can instill a little fear in us. But I would say when you have been fear instilled, that those are the times to tap into the faith of what we know, what we believe, what we teach, talk to a friend, have some time in prayer, listen to one of Celia's CDs, you know, whatever it takes to reconfigure that process of thinking in your own mind. Because money is not our supply. Food is not our supply. Clothing is not our supply. Our cars and our homes, these things are not our supply. They are evidence of infinite supply. You know, when was the last time you turned on a light switch and gave thanks for the light that it brings into your home? You know, these are things that are here to give us a way of cherishing the preciousness of life and seeing what we have rather than what we don't have. Now, Reverend Noli, this is my favorite story I heard on your sweet little message that day. It was about citrus trees. And I think that, do you remember this? Not at all? I think that you actually said orange trees. But citrus trees are a fabulous topic for us because what's happening in our neighborhoods right now? Ooh la la, things are starting to fruit up. I visited a minister friend of mine. I had a chance to visit Reverend Karen Russo at her home, and she has the biggest grapefruit tree I have ever seen outside her front window. Her little office is right there. She looks at it, and it was so overloaded with fruit, I hadn't even noticed the fruit was starting to fruit. And these are big grapefruits, and they're like, it looks more like grapes hanging on. I mean, it's so loaded with fruit that it just reminds me, my word, how beautifully prolific this life is, how inexhaustible the supply of grapefruit. I don't think one person could eat that many, and I love grapefruit, but I don't know that you could eat all the grapefruits off a tree with that much fruit on it. Now, I love that lots of you have citrus trees because I love grapefruit and you bring me grapefruit, so I'm just priming the pump a little to let you know I still love grapefruit. And I leave them on my desk so I can smell them, and I love to eat them, and I don't sweeten them. I just, I love everything about grapefruit. But what happens when the tree gets full of fruit? We pick it. We can eat it. You share it with me. I'm grateful for that. You can sell it. You could probably not, well, around here there's so much of it, but you could put up a little fruit stand if you were a child. That might be a fun adventure, and sell the citrus fruit. You could even call somebody to glean it if you don't desire to have it. People will come to your house and take the fruit. I understand they used to have a program where the HOAs could call a group of gleaners who would come and take the food to the food bank, your fruit to the food bank. And you could leave it on the tree, and eventually the fruit would just drop to the ground, and maybe eventually the tree would look completely bare. But then what happens? It just starts producing another crop. It just starts creating more fruit. So even in the appearance of dormancy or lack, even if the fruit is gone for a while, the truth of the tree remains. The fruit can be gone, but the source of the fruit, is embedded in the intelligence of the fruit tree. So it's always there. It is a natural law. It can't be avoided. And that same law is in us. Imagine that. Do you ever lose something or have a sad loss in your life? And you think, I don't ever want to own anything again. I don't ever want to love like that again because it hurts too much. What happens? You heal. And whether you want to or not, you start collecting again. Right? You know, I went through a thing in my own life when I was a young woman, and I said to that man back there, I said, yeah, I don't want anything. I don't need nothing. I get it. I know who I am. You know, God's my source. I don't need a thing. And you know what happened? Things just start coming. It's just the nature of life. It is embedded in the DNA that is divine within us. We are created in the likeness of that which always knows what to produce. Now we participate in that. We are always participating in it. So if you're looking at your bank account, or you're concerned about a relationship or a health issue, or maybe a health issue of a loved one, remember to call back on that idea that we take no thought of these things. Like the lilies of the field. It'll happen. It'll be okay. You'll get through this somehow. And everybody sitting in this room, well, maybe almost everybody. How old are you, darling? 8. Okay, well, maybe. You probably had some of this in your life, too. Everybody sitting in this room has been through something where we thought we wouldn't be able to make it to the other side. And look at this. Here we are. We wouldn't be sitting here if there wasn't something in us that knows how to do it when we do not believe we know how to do it anymore. So by our thinking, we are always planting new seeds of possibility. And as a community, I think that is the most spectacular thing that we do as a group, Centers for Spiritual Living. It is our goal to create a global consciousness and to join others in this global consciousness that it is possible to create a world that works for everyone. And we align ourselves to those ideas. We teach transformational spiritual practices. We have tools. We have tool bags that represent everything we need to learn and do. We have classes. I will be posting a list of the classes coming up for the new year very soon. The good that we desire, we already have. It is already in us. It could not be there. In the same way that we couldn't exist if we didn't have a circulatory system and we weren't a part of that great universal circulatory system. We have points of view, so we're different. You know, when I stand and look at life from my point of view, you will never be able to see it quite the way I see it because it's my point of view. We can't stand in each other's shoes, though. Some of you have shoes I'd like to borrow. But our point of view is unique. It's not wrong or right. It's just our point of view. And what do you know about our point of view? It is always changing, just like we are. So what do we want to plant as the seeds of possibility for this community? That's what our family meeting is about. That's what this month is about. As we look at the ways in which we are called to steward what has been given to us so long ago. Did I tell you 40 years? We're going to have a big celebration next year. They'll be talking about it. 40 years. 40 years ago, a group of people probably met in June Darby's home. I would love to know a little more of the history. And then pretty soon they had enough people that they opened a storefront. And then somebody had a vision that this gymnasium that used to have mirrors all over this room, you know, would be a great sanctuary. And that pool in that other room could be filled in and that we might dance on it for wedding receptions like last night. Fun, right? So what visions do we have? What do we know? What are we called to bring to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living and to the community outside of these walls? I wanted to end today with a gorgeous quote from Raymond Charles Barker, who said this. The universe is waiting for you to decide so it can respond to the fullest. A transcendent power wants us to have health and wealth and love and self-expression. It has placed the complete patterns for these essentials in our consciousness. they will remain latent until known, believed in, and thought about as the truth of our being. I hold a pretty big vision for us, and I invite you to join me, for it has been people that have sat in this sanctuary for more than 20 years that have been willing to continue that vision that June Darby and a handful of people started 40 years ago. This is our time. There's no question. What are we waiting for? Let's just take all of this idea, this discussion, and anchor it in prayer so that we are square and know where to go from here. So just take a deep breath. And we turn within to that still, peaceful place, that perfect place of the Most High. And I feel the love of God within me. I know it is that activity of life. It is the power. It is the presence. It is the glory of God itself. It is all the grace. It is the harmony and the beauty of this universe. And it is the infinite intelligence. I feel the love of God within me. And I know that it is that which calls each and every one of us to that place of joining with others, that call to stand in boldly in that divine light, to hold the vision of what's possible. I feel the love of God, and I know it is that passion that not only fuels relationships, but it is the healing power in all connection. And so I know this day, as we stand renewed in our ability to recognize that God is right here, right in this very room, and certainly at the core, the center of each person and every living thing. I feel that love, and I know it is that great gift, that ongoing pouring out of grace itself. And I know because we are open to it this day, because we sit in community, that we know exactly what we are called to do, that we know how to put one foot in front of the other, that we are brazen in our capacity to imagine the goodness of the future of the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is that call to move even deeper in our spiritual practice, in our ability to recognize the goodness of life. And so I speak a word of blessing. Wherever there is a call for healing of any sort whatsoever, I simply know that there too is this presence of God. I know it is the Creator's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to allow us to feel the peace of God within us, to be able to have the strength to walk through whatever it is we are called to walk through, and to feel the comfort of the divine, to know that just as the lilies of the field know how to bloom again and again, that there is beauty in our own lives springing forth even now. And so I know that our relationships are healing, that they are blessed, that we are restored to this sense of being whole and vibrant and prosperous in every way. And wherever there is any appearance of limitation of any sort, I simply know that the fullness of Spirit is right there, that we are supplied in an inexhaustible way, that every good gift, everything that we require to stay in the center of this vibrancy of life, everything we need is provided. And so I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, life. I am so grateful to remember yet again that this is how life works. And so in this spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release these words into that divine law that creates order and peace and beauty in all the universe and says yes right now to every prayer. I release these words. I allow them to be. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.
Wow. You're a power man. I needed to hear every bit of that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
This song is called Will Always Sing, and I wrote it after the events of 9/11. With the things that are happening in our world today, I felt like it was important to put that. A lot of my friends have been asking for it, so it's complicated. I'm going to do this. There's a lot of buttons and wires and things.
Oh,
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amazing. Yes, come forward, please. Woo! That was really wonderful. And you know what I was thinking, because I gave a very poignant talk, was that last weekend or the weekend before? And there's something to do with that anger. Can you see when of course we should be angry over stuff like that. Can you see how that comes out in a positive way when you channel it properly? Oh, thank you so much. Hi, thank you for helping. It's time for our offering, and we have a giving affirmation that you'll find in your program. And so just share these words out loud with me now. I live in a consciousness of good. Divine love blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you very much. Could I see your blue for a minute? Thank you, darling. Thank you, thank you. So hopefully you have a blue flyer in your program. If you don't, there are more probably on the table out by in the reception area. And I'd love for you to, you can drop these right in the offering plate if you like, but we also will be the board members and or me. You can give them back to us, or you can put it in the gold box in the bookstore area under on the Holmes base table. So this is one of the ways, there'll be more at the meeting, one of the ways we're collecting your feedback, and this is anonymous. Anything else you do from here on out, I'll know you did it. So fill this with whatever it is that you want to say to us. This is for the board and myself, the leadership of this community. And now we're going to play. We're going to, as soon as we do the benediction here, we're going to cross over into Papke Hall, and we got some entertainment ready for you. I think Mr. Bob Meese is going to have to change clothes. I'm right. Oh, uh-huh. And, well, you're going to talk about that, right? Diana Kerlak is going to be, apparently you're going to be selling mugs today. So she'll tell you about that. But that's so you can have your own coffee mug here. You can put your name on it. We have a rack in the back, thanks to Paul Dano. And so you have a way to, you're going to talk about it, right? Okay, but she'll be selling those mugs if you want to get a jump on it before. Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's stand and close with our beautiful Blessed Always.